Let's take a walk in the footprints of God. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McLean.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
This is David Higby from St. Irenaeus Ministries. If you're interested in serious Orthodox Catholic studies in scripture, evangelization, or discipleship training, I'd like to invite you to check out our podcast at siministries.org. That's siministries.org. We are very straightforward and don't pull our punches, and I think you'll find these sessions both stimulating and informative.
Hello, this is Steve Ray, Jerusalem Jones, my website, CatholicConvert.com. You're listening to Joe here on the Catholic Hack Podcast. Good work, Joe. Keep it up.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McLean, and this is episode number 37. And today we finish our interview with Steve Ray. I hope you have enjoyed the conversation as much as I have. And it's been a busy, busy week. I've heard from several of you this week. Scott sent me in an email catching up on the podcast, telling me he was pretty surprised to hear the news on SQPN and the new job. And Scott, he is local here in Houston, so Scott, it was nice to hear from you. Got a post on the blog over at CatholicHack.com from a Mr. Krishna. Now, I hope I said your name correctly, and if I didn't, I'm really sorry about that. But Mr. Krishna sent his post about Mary as Kekaritomene, and he wanted to clarify. He thought that my comments might be just a little bit troubling for some people who, when I said that Mary had to be born full of grace just as Eve was born full of grace. And he wanted to say that it wasn't necessarily necessary for that to happen, but it was good that it happened, and it was to fulfill all righteousness. And that's correct. So go ahead and go to the blog, www.catholichack.com, and there you can read the full post from Mr. Krishna. But I would say this as far as that comment. Yeah, it's not technically, necessary for God to have made Mary sinless. That's true. But then again, it's not necessarily necessary for God to have died on a cross to forgive us our sins. He simply could have snapped his fingers or thought about it and wiped away the debt that we incurred. But surely he did it for a reason. And I would go so far as to say, now this is just my opinion as a Catholic hack, but I would go so far as to say that it was intended right from the very beginning. Right there in Genesis chapter 3, when God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and there he confronted Adam and Eve and the serpent. And there we see this first model of confession, and that was one of the first podcasts I produced here on the Catholic Hack, was on confession. I talk about this in great detail. But there we see God pointing forward to that day when he would untie this knot that was tied by a woman who was born without sin, Eve, and who was visited by an angel, the serpent. And pointing towards that day when he said that he will put enmity between those two. And pointing towards that day when Mary, another woman born without sin, who was visited by an angel, would say yes to God instead of no. And I would go so far as to say that if God wanted that, if God intended on recreating, you see, it was his intention. And because it's his intention, I would go so far as to say it became necessary at that point. God doesn't have to do anything, but he chose to do it. And because he chose to do it, because it's his will, I would say it's necessary at that point. So it's sort of technical, and again, it's just my opinion. I wouldn't go to the bank on that, but I really feel that there is a great argument there, both scripturally, theologically, and in tradition, that could support that. So please stop by the blog, www.catholichack.com, and there you can read the rest of Mr. Krishna's posting there. Also this week, we heard from some new listeners. Michael Brown also wrote in, as well as Professor Bruce White sent me some feedback. I heard from a couple of listeners in Germany, actually. Jonas, and I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Jonas, and again, if I'm not, please forgive me. Jonas is from Munich, Germany. Jonas shared with me some things that he's struggling with, and it was a real blessing to be able to share with Jonas some of the things, the tools that really have helped me in my spiritual growth, and I hope to hear from him again soon. Also, Vicky sent me some email feedback this week, as well as another listener from Germany, Kathleen, who is a mom of three, an American living in Germany. Kathleen, thank you very much for sending your feedback in. Praying for you and your family. I used to live in Germany myself, so I can really appreciate the sacrifice that you're living right now, being an American in Germany, away from your friends and your family. But you know what? I really love Germany. It was a beautiful place, and it was a really fantastic opportunity in my life to experience the European culture, and I thoroughly enjoyed it and hope to one day bring my family back there. So thank you very much for sending your feedback. I really, really appreciate that. It's been a real blessing. Had a few more posts on reviews on iTunes this week. Thank you all very, very much for that. Again, that's a great way to support this podcast. Well, before we get into the interview, I want to try to make it a tradition to pray for all of you, to pray for you and all the things that you're going through right now, your temptations and your struggles, and maybe some of the things that that hurt the most. Let's pray about that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all glory and praise be to God Almighty. We thank you, dear Father, for the graces that you have given us and for the blessings in our lives. And we pray and beg you for forgiveness for our sins. And I pray, dear Jesus, and I offer up all of the listeners to the Catholic Hack podcast, and I pray that you descend upon them with your Holy Spirit, and that you be with them, that you fill them full of grace and mercy, that each of the men who listen to this podcast are strengthened in the grace to become real men of God, to follow after you in your heart and to walk in your ways, that they can avoid all sin and temptation, and they can lead their friends, their families, their wives, and their kids to you in your glory. And I pray for all the women, that they too be strengthened in your grace, that they can lay down their sacrifices that they do so readily, and inspire all around them for your glory alone. I pray for their strength. Dear Jesus, may you heal them, may you love them, and may you grant them many graces. And we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, this week, like I said, we're going to finish up our conversation with Steve Ray. It's been a great opportunity for me to speak with Jerusalem Jones about the fantastic DVD series that he's put out, about his books, about his faith walk and his journey, and his opportunity to take pilgrims on a special journey through the Holy Land. What a gift. But we've got to roll up our sleeves and we've got to dive deep and get into the truth with Steve Ray.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This school when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to assist, to change and sustain the way I think it exists, to feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
dive, dive, dive.
And so I started filming this series. And when we got about 5 or 6 of them done, we have 7 done now out of the 10, people started writing and saying, Steve, you're leading us through the videos all through Israel and Egypt and Turkey and Greece and Rome. Why don't you take us in person? Well, let's give it a try. So we put together a pilgrimage, and it filled up almost instantly.
Wow.
And then we've been doing it ever since. And
praise God.
Now Ignatius Press has asked us in November of this year to lead their 30th anniversary pilgrimage to the Holy Land. So we'll have 3 buses with them, with some of the authors. And we have a lot of them going now, and we just love it. So we're still making the movies. We're writing books. I'm doing conferences all over. And if people want to go on a pilgrimage with us, they just visit our website, CatholicConvert.com.
And how did you pick up the nickname Jerusalem Jones?
That was funny. There's a newspaper here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, put out by Ave Maria, Tom Monahan's organization. They had a newspaper, and she saw the first DVD that we did on Peter, and she put it on the title of the newspaper. On the whole cover was a picture of me and Sean Connery, and it said Jerusalem Jones visits Israel or something. And I had a hat that I wear. One of those Tilly hats, like a safari hat. And the reason I did that, of course, is the first day of filming with my bald head, I got so sunburned. My wife said, you're wearing this hat from now on, and it's kind of stuck as a trademark now. But in that front page of the paper, there I was with Sean Connery, and I was riding camels and galloping through the land of Israel.
That's fantastic.
And also, you can go, that's also a website name. It's JerusalemJones.com. I figured I'd snatch that while it was still open.
Yeah, I actually use your website all the time. You have articles on your website that I use as resource materials for my podcasts. So they're very, very good resource materials there. And your blog has been great. I've actually followed you on one of your pilgrimages. You do a blog entry every day, and you do video clips.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty cool, too, to follow along with that. But there's a burning question that I always said, if I ever get to talk to Steve Ray, I'm going to ask him about this, you know. You've been to the Holy Land many, many times. You've been to the traditional site of Sinai, correct?
Yes.
Right.
I rented 48 camels in September. I took 48 people up there on camels up top of Mount Sinai.
That's fantastic.
Yes,
what do you think? Are you familiar with the site in Saudi Arabia? And what is your opinion of that?
I've read about it, and I've seen the documentary on TV about it. It's very intriguing,
uh-huh.
But at this point, I think it's just an unproved hypothesis, and I'm not sure because I haven't gone there to visit that site, and I know that there are not a lot of, my limited knowledge, there's not a lot of scholars or historians that have jumped on that bandwagon that site.
You're right. That's why I've asked, you know, because it is intriguing. When you look at the pictures on the websites about that site, they have, you know, not only the altar at the base, the blackened top of the mountain, and you know, graffiti, if you will, that's just all very, very intriguing. So, like you say, I haven't heard one single, you know, Orthodox, you know, somebody who you can trust scholar mention anything about it, so I've always just really wondered, and I thought, who better to ask than Steve Ray?
I think it's an intriguing hypothesis, but I stick with, for the safety's sake, I stick with the ancient tradition that St. Catherine's Monastery, which was actually dedicated to St. Mary at first, at the foot of Mount Sinai, the traditional site in the southern tip of Mount Sinai, the Sinai Peninsula. That's where the Jews have recognized it. That's where the very first Christians built a monastery. So there's a 2,000-year tradition of that site. And not only that, but it fits the biblical record. When you read the story of the biblical record, the number of days they traveled and so on, it seems that the traditional site works quite well. And that's the one that we did in our Moses movie. And if anybody wants to see that, we go through all of the land up on top of the mountain, everything in that movie, called Moses, Signs, Sacraments, and Salvation.
Wow. Now, out of all the places in the Holy Land that you've gone to, what is your favorite?
There's only one. It's the fulcrum of all of space and time. It's the most cosmic place in the whole universe, and it has to be the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus was both crucified and buried and raised from the dead, all under one roof. And when you stand up on the Mount of Olives, you look down over Jerusalem, the old city, and you see the golden dome of the Muslim mosque, which obviously takes up the skyline because of the gold top and its place. But if you look just beyond that, there's another dome that's exactly the same size, and it's a dark, dusty gray dome. And then right next to it is a smaller, dusty gray dome, and that is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And we have it from aerial footage in our movies. The smaller dome is right over the place where Jesus was crucified, and the blood that saved us from our sins, the blood of the eternal God himself, who is a sacrificial Passover lamb, his actual blood dripped on the rock at the top of that hill, and it's under that one dome. And then if you just walk under that to another dome, you can see it from there. It's just unbelievable to see it.
Wow.
Under the larger dome is where the tomb is. And you can go in there many, many times. I've gone in and touched the place where Jesus was crucified. We have Mass in there with our pilgrimage group. One time my daughter went over to pray. She was 15, and she prayed at the tomb. She said, "Dad, I'm going to go for an hour and pray. I'll be back." And she came back sobbing and in tears, hysterical, threw herself on the bed in the hotel and just cried and cried. And I said, Emily, what's wrong? You have to tell me." Oh, she was just in tears. Finally, she blurted out, she said, "Dad, I've been in that tomb many times with you, but today I realized he was really there."
Wow.
And that's the kind of impact it has on people when they go there. So what's the most important, exciting, interesting place we visited in all of our travels? It has to be the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There's no place else like it where God himself died, was buried, and on the third day rose again for our salvation. The first time we were there, we visited that church first, and my wife in tears said, "I could go home now. I've seen everything I need to see."
Wow. That's fantastic. That's a goal of ours. My family and I would love to someday go to the Holy Land. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what it must feel like. I mean, I know how I felt in that little tiny stone pit in Rome.
Yep.
I'm sure it's that magnified. You know, yeah. By a million. So what a tremendous gift God has granted in you, that you've been able to share all this with us in this video series. I mean, again, they're really well done. I mean, when it comes to building up the faithful, giving them, you know, some the building blocks to, you know, answering objections to the faith, there's nothing more powerful than a visual display that takes you through the Holy Land, and then while you're there, you're giving us this apologetics material that I really loved, especially when you do, you know, talking about Mary being, you know, saved from all stain of sin, and you fall into the pit, and that, I mean, that's just really great stuff. I mean, a lot of lay faithful who don't study their faith will tune into this. This is material that they'll bite into. You know, they might not go and read, you know, Carl Keating's book, you know, front cover to cover, but they'll watch this and they'll be entertained. And at the same time, they're going to take away a knowledge that they didn't possess before. So they're very well done.
So I've had women come up to me and say, "I really appreciate your movies because my husband will not read a book, and he loves to sit in front of the television and watch sports, but he won't read a book, but he loves your movies." And I've had somebody even tell me that their 8-year-old son had memorized one of the movies word for word.
Wow.
On the life of St. Paul. So these movies, like you said, are audio, they're visual, they're adventures, they're fun, they're very, in a way, like Crocodile Hunter or Jerusalem Jones feel to them, riding horses, wrestling snakes, all these kind of things. But the whole goal is to make a rollicking adventure to show people how true and exciting and marvelous the Catholic faith is. And I want people who are Protestants to come to find the fullness of the faith. I want Catholics who have been sitting in the pew all their life to get excited about the Catholic faith and get busy with this, because there's a lot to be done. And I want kids to become enamored and in love with the church, and I don't want to see them leave the church like they have so often. I want young kids, hopefully, that learn from these movies to stay Catholic, become priests, become sisters or nuns, and become evangelists like we are.
Wow. Now, none of this could be cheap. I mean, getting a revelation in the middle of the night saying, oh, honey, we're going to make a 10-part DVD series, and we're going to rent flocks of sheep and helicopters.
We rented helicopters in every one of those countries to get all the aerial footage, so the helicopters were expensive as well. Everything has been. But I have to say, Ignatius Press has funded the whole project. They believed in it, and they're the ones that are the executive producers, and they have funded the whole project to the tune of millions of dollars.
Wow.
And they give me a blank check, and they just say to my wife and I, go out and make these movies, and we'll sell them, and that's what we've done. So I really commend especially Mark Brumley and Tony Ryan at Ignatius Press for making this all possible and for supporting us in it.
Praise God. That's pretty fantastic. I can't imagine
really
you would have
is.
Received that kind of support anywhere else. That's really phenomenal. So let's talk about
Ignatius Press is an amazing publisher. They're great people.
Now let's talk about your books.
Okay,
you've got three books that you've put out, and I understand that you have more books in the works, or at least that's your desire. Is that not true?
I actually have five books out now, and I've got three in the works.
Oh, you have five. What are the other two?
I have Crossing the Tiber with Ignatius Press. That's my conversion story.
Right.
Then I have Upon This Rock with Ignatius Press, and that is a study on the early church and the papacy and why we became Catholics and not Orthodox or something else. And then the other one is a Bible study guide on the Gospel of St. John.
Right.
It's for Catholics, both how to study the Bible, and it takes them verse by verse on a rollicking adventure studying the Gospel of John. Now, the other two are published with Catholic Answers in San Diego, California, and one of them is called Faith for Beginners, and it explains the essence of our faith, and we go through the creeds, what are creeds, why do we need them, and then we go phrase by phrase through the creed explaining the Catholic faith, and the other one is called A Papacy Learning Guide, which is really at the ABCs of the papacy, from the biblical sources to the problems to the understanding of it, to the history of it. It's a very good book. 80 pages only, easy read, but if you got that content down, you're going to be able to understand and explain the papacy. So those are the ones I have. They're all available on my website, too, by the way. We have a web store as well that people can buy all these things. The three that I have in the works are a book called A Virtual Pilgrimage to the Holy Land, which is going to be all the major Christian and biblical sites that we take pilgrims on, with pictures and the archaeology and tradition of the sites, plus all the biblical passages of things that happened there, along with prayers and meditations. So that'll be called something like A Virtual Pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Then I have also, I'm working on books on like a Bible study guide on Acts and Genesis eventually. And another book that's about halfway done is I don't have a title for it yet, but it's kind of the layman's interesting guide to the New Testament.
Wow.
I wrote about three or five or six pages on each book, and I introduce you to Matthew. So when we come, say, to the example, when we come to the book of Matthew, I don't start talking about the Bible. What I do is, you're walking down the path between Bethsaida and Capernaum, and you come to the tax booth, and sitting there is Matthew ready to collect your taxes, and then you see a guy named Jesus come along and confront him and tell him to follow him. And so I do it in a way where you get to know the author, you get to know the people involved, and I want to introduce the New Testament that way.
Wow, that's pretty cool. What is your, out of the books that you've got out now, what is your favorite? You have a particular favorite?
You know, people ask us, which is our favorite DVD documentary we've done, or which is my favorite book? I have six grandkids right now, and if you said, which one of your grandkids do you like the best, I'd say, well, you know, that's very difficult. I like Dominic because of this, and Joshua because of that. I really like Crossing the Tiber.
Mm.
The Tiber, as you know, is the river that runs through Rome.
Right.
And to say that you're crossing the Tiber means that you're going to leave the world and other religions, and you're going to cross the Tiber River and come to St. Peter's in the Vatican and become a Catholic.
Mm.
And that book was not ever going to be a book. It was simply a love letter to my mom and dad. They were so angry that we were converting to the Catholic Church. My dad clenched his fist and, you must be backslidden, he said. You know, he was just furious. So I started writing in the middle of the night, "Dear Dad and Mom, you're the best parents in the world, and I owe you an explanation." And in the long run, it became the book, Crossing the Tiber, that letter to my parents. So that one will always hold a special place in my heart, and it by far outsells my other books even today, 10 years later. Mm. It still sells a lot of them. And I just talked to two people yesterday, this weekend in... we were in Las Vegas doing a conference, and two people came up and said, "Steve, I read this book, and as a result of that, I converted to the Catholic Church." It was
wow, praise God.
You couldn't argue with it. It was absolutely concise and powerful, and it brought me into the Catholic Church. And so I get emails like that every week. So that book will always hold a special place in my heart. Then Upon This Rock, though, that study of the papacy through the early centuries, actually the Old and New Testament in the first 8 centuries, was such a powerful book for me to confirm the fact that Jesus had always intended to have a bishop of Rome who would be in charge of his church.
Right.
And then St. John's Gospel was never going to be a book either. They asked me to teach a Bible study at our parish, and I had to write my own materials because there weren't any good materials out there at the time, and it became a book. And I like that book because it took me into the heart of the great Apostle John, into his heart, and to be deep in his heart in that book is to be into the heart of God. And that book, I realized how deep and profound the Scriptures are, especially the Gospels, and how much we need to really work on studying and understanding and loving them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I too have an affinity for St. Peter in my own personal journey. I mean, especially when I got to spend time at his tomb, and as I said before, it was really touched my heart. But it seemed, in hindsight, in retrospect, is always 20/20, as they say, but it just seems so arrogant to think now how people couldn't expect that there would be someone left in charge. I mean, it's just so arrogant in my mind now that I look at it, and although I didn't feel that way when I was a Protestant, I grew up in the Church of Christ and became agnostic, and then, you know, then became Christian, and then became Catholic again. So it really does, to me, it became a much more deeper faith, a much more profound faith when I came to love the primacy of Peter, when I became to love the fact that we have a pope, that Christ himself felt it was so important to establish a church, an authoritative teaching body that was his church, and it was his authority, but they are acting in his presence, and that to me became beautiful. It really did become beautiful.
Right. So, did you ever hear of an army without a general, or a baseball team without a captain, or a police force without a captain? Yeah, it's not heard of. When you have groups of people, just by the very nature of what people are like, we need shepherds, and that's why at the shore of Galilee, after Jesus had already told Peter that he was going to be the rock and he'd give him the keys of the kingdom, he said to him on the shore of Galilee, "Peter, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, tend my sheep." And that comes right out of the book of Ezekiel, where the shepherd was to tend and to feed, and those words meant that they were to govern and they were to teach them. And it was the job of the king and the king's followers. And Jesus is appointing Peter to be the one who teaches and protects and who feeds his sheep, in a sense of like a shepherd governing his flock.
Wow. Where do you find time to do all of this? You're still running a company, correct? You don't golf.
My wife says that I get time to do all this because I don't golf.
You're running a company, you're producing DVDs, you're writing books, you're giving talks around the nation, and you're leading pilgrimages in the Middle East. I mean,
and recording podcasts.
Do you eat? I mean, do you
yeah,
breathe?
But I use a lot of times, if it's not with the family or something, if people are busy, I'll eat at the computer. but I really don't. I don't golf. I don't do a lot of other things. Maybe that other people do. My wife says that this is what we do. This is, if you give me free time, if you give me an hour and say, "Steve, you've got, let's say you give me the afternoon, you got a whole afternoon off, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go do some study in the Scriptures or work on these things because this is what I love to do."
Praise God.
So where some people love to sit and watch football, or they love to go out and golf, or they love to do something else, go to the movies, when my wife and I have a chance to do what we love to do, we'll read good books, we'll travel to the Holy Land and discover more things, or I'll write.
Wow. You must have fostered some pretty fantastic relationships with folks in the Middle East by now.
We really have. We've made some very dear friends that we even consider family in a way. And we've gotten to know a lot of Christians there, Christian Palestinians, but we also know many Jewish people and some Muslim friends as well. And someday I'd like to get an apartment and just move there.
Yeah, I bet. That'd be fantastic. Now, you've always said a lot of people have a fear of going to the Holy Land, and that's been a big part of you trying to comfort people, letting them know that that is pretty safe. Can you just talk about that for a sec?
Yeah, we've been to the Holy Land 50 times, somewhere between 45 and 50. We lost track. But people are hesitant because they see CNN with the problems going on. And most of the time CNN is playing archived footage and showing things that happened 5 years ago. But there were suicide bombs and there were fighting with Lebanon and this kind of thing. But it's all usually very localized, and we know where those kind of things happen. And they don't happen in any of the holy sites where we go. You've never heard of a pilgrim being killed or even hurt or abused in any way over there. That's very localized, these problems, and they don't happen very much anymore. And when we take people there, they get off the plane, and they're all a little nervous. You can see, like, oh, I've been watching CNN over the last 10 years, and I've seen problems here. By the end of the first day, they're very relaxed, and by the end of the week, they're laughing at themselves for even being worried about it and saying, this is beautiful here in the Holy Land. This is friendly and peaceful, and where's the problems that CNN's telling us there are?
Wow.
And they said, but when we go home, our friends aren't going to believe us. But we've been there 45, 50 times. We've never had any problem. We take groups over there of 50, 100 people at a time. We've never had any problems. Everybody has a profound experience. You can even look on my website, my pilgrimage website. We've just got pages and pages of people talking about how great a time they had and how safe it was. So don't let that hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back from going on a pilgrimage with us. It's something that you should do. It's safer in Israel than it is in any of the inner cities of the United States.
Well, I've heard that the people in the Middle East, in Palestine in particular, Israel and what have you, are some of the nicest people to pilgrims in the world.
Yep. Hospitality over there is incredible. And even though, you know, people might be afraid of Palestinians, when you walk into the old city of Jerusalem, guess what? Those Palestinians you see, most of them are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and they go to Mass on Sunday morning just like you do.
Wow, fantastic. Now, do you run into any Protestant groups over there at all?
There's a lot of Protestant groups that go to the Holy Land as well. However, they tend to avoid most of the traditional real sites, the Catholics, because the Catholics have been in control of them for 1,000 years.
Wow.
So many Protestants have their own tomb, for example. It's called the Garden Tomb. And many claim that that is the authentic tomb of Christ, and there's not an archaeologist or historian in the world who will support him in it. But but they tend to avoid some of the real sites and go more to the Sea of Galilee or go to the outskirts where it looks like more of what it would have looked like 2,000 years ago, but avoid the real historical sites. Now, for Catholics, the real historical sites are important because we have a sacramental mentality. We have this mentality that there's such a thing as holy ground. For example, when Moses was in the wilderness of Sinai, there's the bush on fire because God is in the bush, and God says, take off your sandals because you're on holy ground. Why is it holy? Because God has been there. And when God touches something, it becomes sanctified and holy.
Wow.
That was just dirt and rocks 24 hours early. There was nothing holy about it. It was just rocks and dirt like everything else. But from that point on, it became different. Same rocks, same dirt, but it was holy because God had touched it. So for me, to take people into the Holy Sepulchre is more important, even if it doesn't look like what it looked like 2,000 years ago, because it is the holy ground where he was.
Right.
So to me, the authentic sites are important.
Now, you know, one place that I really would love to go someday is the house where our Blessed Lady lived in Ephesus.
Yep.
What is that like?
You leave what was Ephesus at the time. It's down in the valley, and it's one of the most well-preserved and beautiful archaeological sites in the world, I think, and it's just magnificent. I've been there many times. We led a group there last year. And then you go in a bus, about a 20-minute ride up into these very tranquil mountains and through the trees and up. It's very quiet with a breeze, and you can look out over the Mediterranean Sea, and you can look down and see Ephesus. And as you wind your way up into these mountains, you come to, it's a touristy place now to some degree, but not too much. And you park your bus or your car, and then you walk along a nice pathway back into the woods, and then there's this little stone house. And the story is that this was the house that John built or had built for Mary when they had resided in Ephesus. And they would have built the house up here for Mary and maybe some other holy women to live a life of contemplative prayer and meditation and quiet away from the wicked influences and sin of Ephesus down below. So I have pictures of it on my website, if people want to see it too, in my photo album section. But it's a beautiful little stone house. And Blessed Sister Anne Emmerich in the 1800s had a vision of it and told some brothers who went, and they found it is exactly like she had said, and nobody had known about it prior to that. Although the tradition among the Ephesians, the people in the area, is that this is actually was up there. And wow. They went looking into the bushes, and sure enough, they found the foundation of this house, and then they rebuilt it. So people can visit it today, and many, many people say it's one of the most peaceful places they've ever been on the earth. And wow. We've been there a good number of times for Mass with the Archbishop of Turkey for that area, and even once for a young Turkish man who had his first Mass, we were there.
No kidding. That's fantastic. Well, Steve, what is in the future for you? What are you, besides the new books that you got coming to us, what else are you working on?
It's always a whirlwind. It's like being on a roller coaster and asking me, what's the next curve or hill you're going to hit? You know, boy, we never know sometimes until we come swooping around that next hill, and then, oh, there it is. But we do have 3 more DVDs we want to finish in our series. We want to finish up the one on Abraham, Doctors of the Church, and Elijah. I want to get these other books out. I'm also writing Bible studies now for Catholic Scripture studies. And if anybody, by the way, wants to get into a very good Catholic Scripture study for their parish or their community, it's CatholicScriptureStudy.com. And I wrote the one they're using this year. 10,000 people are using it on the book of Acts that I wrote last year.
Wow.
And right now I'm writing the study on the book of Genesis for them. And then we are also just enjoying very much leading pilgrimages to the biblical lands, not just to Israel, but also the footprints of Paul, pilgrimages to Rome. We've got one going to Egypt in 2009. We're going to actually follow the biblical story out of Egypt through the Sinai up the mountain and then around to the Red Sea and then into Israel. So we're enjoying doing that. I don't ever anticipate retiring. I love this way too much. There's no way I'm going to sit out on a front porch swing when I get old. So we just are open to the Lord to lead us and to tell us what's important, and we hope we have the insight and the wisdom to follow Him.
Praise God. Well, Steve, thank you very much for spending your time with us today and sharing your ministry and talking about your books and your pilgrimages. This is all stuff that's truly blessed my family in particular, and I know many of the listeners to this podcast feel the same way. They're all excited to know that you are going to be on the podcast, because everybody's pretty much seen Jerusalem Jones by now. So
well,
praise God.
You, and
amen. So thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Joe. Keep up 2 things, I'd say. Keep up the good work, what you're doing. The more of us out there doing this, the better. Second of all, keep us in your prayers, because when you're out on the front lines, you're the object of being shot at here and left and right and so on. So we really ask people to pray for us and keep us in prayer so we can keep doing what we're doing.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. God
Thank
bless.
Thank you. Oh, God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. Steve Ray, www.catholicconvert.com. Check him out today. He's got a lot of fantastic resources that are available to the faithful. This is great material to build you up in the faith. The DVD series is just, it's top shelf. It really is. I highly recommend that you check it out today. Thank you very much, Steve Ray, for taking the time to sit down and let me interview you and bring you on this podcast. It's been a pleasure. So thank you very much. Well, like I said, it's been a very busy week for me, you know, training my replacement at my new job, preparing myself to start my new life at Fullness of Truth, and my family stepping out in faith, and I want to continue to ask you to pray about that. We are very nervous in some respects, as much as we are ecstatic about the opportunity to serve God full-time in Catholic ministry. Fullness of Truth has a conference coming up in February. You can go to fullnessoftruth.org if you want some information. It's down in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's going to be a fantastic conference. Patrick Madrid is going to be there. Ray Guarendi is going to be there. John Martinoni is going to be there. Eduardo Verastegui of Bella is going to be there. We're actually going to play the movie Bella at this conference. So it's going to be a fantastic conference, and I think it's going to fire people up. So please stop by www.fullnessoftruth.org for details on how you can pick up tickets to go to that conference. And if you come, let me know, and we'll hook up, because I'll be there well, I'll be working it. What a blessing that is. So thank you all very much for the feedback that you have posted and left for me this week. Truly a blessing. Please do me a favor. Please stop by iTunes today and leave me a review. We had a few reviews left this week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, I need more reviews. That gets this podcast further and further up in the standings. And that's how people come to find this. I had an exchange with Sean from England on Facebook. He found this podcast, wasn't looking for it, discovered the podcast, and as a result, now he's discovering the Catholic faith that his grandmother had, I believe, and he is exploring on this journey. And what a blessing it is to be a part of that journey. I'm truly humbled by that. So that's the result of your work and of you leaving reviews on iTunes. People are finding this great Catholic material because you guys are supporting it. So please, prayerfully, consider doing that today. Also, stop by the blog www.catholichack.com and pick up a Catholic Hack t-shirt or a Catholic Hack mug and evangelize by wearing that shirt out. Buy one for the whole family. Take a picture. Nobody wants to send me a picture of them wearing the t-shirt. Why? I've got a picture of myself up there and my whole family. You can too. Please, buy a t-shirt or a mug today off the blog. Send me a picture so I can post it. I can't wait to get at least the very first picture of someone wearing a Catholic Hack t-shirt. That would be pretty fantastic, so please consider doing that today. I can't thank you enough for all the support that you've given me, and I've met so many new people as a result to being picked up on SQPN. So if you're a new listener, welcome aboard. Thank you. Please send me your feedback. Let me know you're listening. Let me know what you think of this podcast. We try really hard to be passionate about the faith, to share the beauties of this wonderful Catholic faith of ours, and to give a reason for the hope that lies within, to proclaim courageously that which Christ died to give us. So that's our goal here today. I've had a few requests asking me how do I get the older files, the archived files? How can I download those as MP3s? And so I thought I'd take a minute just of your time to explain how that might be done if you have questions. If you go to the blog, www.catholichack.com, and down the right-hand side, you will see a list of all the shows that I have produced. They're all numbered there for you. Those are MP3s. Those are links to the MP3s. If you click on that link, it'll come up in a web browser, and it will play like an iTunes, or not an iTunes, but a QuickTime file. But if you want to download that, right-click instead of left-click on the mouse. Use the right-click and choose Save As. That will allow you to control the directory into which it is saved. From there, you can either create a playlist and drag and drop them in iTunes, or if you have another, you know, sort of software that can load it onto your MP3 player, then either way, you should be able to get that accomplished fairly easily once the MP3s are on your desktop. So please, do that. Stop by the blog, www.catholichack.com, and download those old files, those first files. I had some really passionate things to say about not only my faith journey in episode 1, but about the beauty of our Catholic faith and confession and the divinity of Christ, and so many other fantastic topics like the authority of Jesus through St. Peter. Is the Bible trustworthy? evolution, conversions. I mean, so many great topics. So please, check those out today and let me know what you thought. Please leave me some voicemail feedback. I have very few takers on voicemail. Consider doing that today. You can get the number right off the blog. But it's 713-568-6277. That's 713-568-6277. You can also catch me on Twitter or Facebook. Now on Facebook, I've created a Catholic Hack podcast group where I can send you messages if you subscribe. I can let you know when new podcasts are out or new events or all kinds of new things. So check that out today, www.catholichack.com. Well, until next time, I pray that God richly bless you. God bless.
Have you heard of the groundbreaking website for Catholics called cmgbooking.com?
Make sure you visit cmgbooking.com to book a great Catholic speaker for your next event. CMGBooking.com is a one-of-a-kind company that represents strictly Catholic speakers and connects them with conferences all over the world. CMGBooking.com is your number one source for Catholic speakers.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.